Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samachay. We left off on the top of daf Samachay Amar Aleph. We are at the two dots on the top of daf Samachay Amar Aleph. Someone has sent me an email that a couple of days ago when I was saying about Aiden Mikriyasi Midei Pshuto, not only that I missed a daf Yomi coincidence on that, but that when I was going through the Rambam and the Ravid, the Machlokas Rambam and the Ravid, that the Ravid asks on the Rambam, apparently I misspoke. I said the Ravid asks on the Rambam that B'torah Ksiv Agarze Evim Keves. No, it doesn't say in the Torah Agarze Evim Keves, that's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. The Ravid says V'alo B'torah Ksiv Yishpati Chai Ram in Haaretz. Agarze Evim Keves is one of the pasukim the Rambam says that's obviously allegory, and the Ze'ev is the Umos Olam, and the Keves is Klal Yisrael. And then the Ravid asks him that, but what do you mean? What are you going to do with the Pasuk? V'alo b'torah k'siv v'yishpati chayera min aretz, and there's not going to be any chayera anymore in the land. So that's what we said, that the Ravid's whole kasha was that you can't explain that with allegory, because in Mikra yotzei midei pshuta. That was the word from Rav Ruvain Margolios. Just wanted to clear that up. Okay, so we're at the two dots. B'mok shaba azna. So today's daf, we're going to discuss a number of topics. We're going to discuss when a person can go outside with absorbent material stuffed into a body part, like the ear and the foot, to make the shoes more comfortable. The Gemara then discusses whether you're allowed to wear false gold and silver teeth on Shabbos. And the Gemara will then identify various therapeutic characteristics that a coin may have if it's placed on a wound, and obviously Shabbos ramifications of that, because coins typically are not something we're supposed to be handling on Shabbos. And the Gemara then will take us through three different hanhagos that Avuah d'Shmuel had that he was very careful about, and the last of which Shmuel himself probably does not agree with. And then the Gemara will discuss using coins and nuts as buttons and wearing them out in public. So the Gemara tells us that the moch shaba azno, the cotton that someone would stick in their ear, so the tani rabbi baruch cheskel v'usha kasher ba azno. Yes, you can walk out with it on Shabbos, but that's only if it's kasher ba azno, if it's tied well into the ear, so it's not going to fall out, and then you're not going to come to carry it. Uba moch shaba sandal. Then if you have a piece of cotton stuck into the shoe, tani rabbi baruch cheskel v'usha kasher la b'sandala. Also, only if it's tied well into the shoe, where you're not going to come to carry it outside on Shabbos. It's not going to fall out. And the cotton that a woman would place, or the absorbent material a woman would place to catch the damnida, in order to soak up the damnida, it shouldn't mess her up, shouldn't mess up her dress or anything. So Rami Bar Chama lemeimar v'hushek shurla bein yirechoseha. So Rami Bar Chama thought to say, seems logical that if the other types of absorbent material in the ear and in the shoe have to be tied in order for us not to be concerned that you're going to come to carry it, that the same would be true about this, about that it has to be tied between her thighs in order that we not be concerned that she comes to carry it. Amar Rava, afal pi she'enu kashula, kiven de ma'is lo asya li'isuye. No, it doesn't have to be tied in. Since it's disgusting, she's not going to come to carry it anyway. Even if it weren't tied in, if it were to fall off, she's not going to come to carry it. What if she made a handle for it? She made a base yad for the for this absorbent material. So Amalei Mutter, he says that's Mutter. Itmar Nami Amar Rav Nachman Bar Oshia Amar Rav Yochanan Asla Beis Yad Mutter. That if she makes some sort of handle for it, where you might think that it's not ma'us, and therefore because it has a handle, it has something to carry it by that won't make her disgusting, that won't. As Rashi says, Asla Beis Yad Mutter Delo Amrina Lo Ma'is El Afil Beis Yad Ma'is. Meaning the Hava Mina is that you would say that with a Beis Yad, it's not going to be so disgusting, and she'll easily come to carry it if it falls out. So the Gemara is telling us, no, it's still going to be mutter, because we're still going to consider, she would still consider it ma'us, she would still consider it disgusting, and therefore there's no concern that she's going to come to carry it if it falls out. Rabbi Yochanan nafak buhu. Actually, before we get to Rabbi Yochanan, so he said buhusha kashur ba'azna, that the cotton in the ear, the cotton in the shoe, has to be tied in very well. Marsham is a tshuva in Chelik Aleph Simon Zayin. He says that if you can say the moch ba'uzan is chotzeitz betvila, meaning if one were to say that, he discusses if a person has some sort of ear infection, where if she goes into the mikvah, it's gonna, and water gets into the ear, it could be very dangerous. dangerous for her. So he tries to figure out whether you could put cotton in the ear to and still go to the mikvah. So one of his rayas is, wait a second, if moch ba'ozen is chatzitza and tvila, forget about whether it's tied into the ear or not tied into the ear. How could you go out with it in Shabbos? Shouldn't we make a gezeira? We should be choshesh dilma shramila tvila shal mitzvah, that she might come across a tvila shal mitzvah like we had earlier. And if a tvila shal mitzvah happens, I don't care how well it's tied in, she's going to need to remove it in order to avoid the chatzitza problem, just like we had in Daf Nun Zayin, that yotzeis b'chutei tzemer, for the eni yotzeis b'chutei seyer, rather, for that reason, she's not allowed to go out with chutei seyer, because we're afraid that comes along tvila shal mitzvah, and she's going to have to remove it for the tvila. So he suggests that maybe we're talking about a certain type of cotton in the ear that she never ever removes, and therefore wouldn't be a chatzitza. It's something that she always leaves in the ear. So you have to figure that out. Is that really nukimta? Rav Moshe has a different heter as to why cotton in the ear is not going to be chatzitza for tevila. Rav Moshe has a chiddush that there are two types of chatzitzas. There are two types of interpositions on the body. There's something that's stuck to the body, and there's something that's just blocking, but it's not really stuck in any way. So cotton, he says, is just a blocker, and if something that's just blocking, then it's not a real chatzitza. Chatzitza has to be something that's stuck on, like if you have nail polish or glue or something sticky, something like that is a real chay, or mud, something that's really stuck onto the body. But something that's just blocking is not going to be a real chatzitza. That was one of the snifim lahakel that many poskim are makel, Rav Shechter and others are makel, even lechatchila, for a woman to go to the mikvah when she has her nuva ring. If she uses that form of contraception, the nuva ring, which is a little plastic ring that she sticks inside of herself, that would not be a chatzitza. So one sniff lahakel is to try to figure out, is it really in the beis hastarim where a chatzitza would be a problem, or maybe it's in balua, it's in the area of the body where a chatzitza would not be a problem. But even if it's in beis hastarim, one could argue that it's a Rav Moshe blocking chatzitza. It's not stuck, it's a blocker, like a cotton in the ear, where Rav Moshe was mekel when it was very necessary. So, okay, says the Gemara now, once we're talking about different things, cotton that people would put in their ear, so Rabbi Yochanan nafik bu lebe medrasha v'chalukim alav chaveirav. Rabbi Yochanan would go to the Beis Medrash with this cotton in his ear. Rashi points out, b'moch shabazno shay zakein v'yislo tzoras ha'ozen meruba. Because he was old, he had a lot of fluid that would come out of his ear, so he needed to have some cotton to absorb all the fluid, but his chaveirim didn't agree. They thought that because it wasn't kosher ba'azno, he didn't tie it well into his ear, and he was going out into Rosh Hasharabim with it. They thought he was doing something wrong. They disagreed with this kula. Rabbi Yanai nafik bula karmelis v'chalukin alav kol doro. Rabbi Yanai went out into a karmelis with some type of absorbent material in his ear, and all of the Bnei Doro, all of the other Rabbanim in his generation, disagreed with him. But wait a second, doesn't Rami Bar Yecheskel tell us that if it's kasha la ba'azna, it's okay, otherwise it's not okay? Lo kasha, had mehadik, had lo mehadik. It's not a kasha, that the difference is whether it's attached in really well or not. Says Rashi, what's going on over here? Had mehadik to Rabbi Yochanan, hayatochev ba'azno yafa, umahadik velo bayik shira. Rami Bar Yecheskel, but lo mehadik. Rabbi Yochanan, when Rami Bar Yecheskel said that it needs to be tied in, that's if it's not attached really well in the first place. So then you need to tie it. You need an extra tie to make it to attach it very well. Rabbi Yochanan had stuck it in such a way where it wasn't coming out. So then he didn't need to tie it because it was mahadik very well anyway. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan was allowed to go into Rosh Hasharabim with this cotton in his ear. Lishna achrina, however, says Rashi, mitalmidei Rabbeinu Alevi, Rabbi Yochanan kasher hava, ubeis midrasho samuch lebeiso hava, v'lois arush asram afsekes. Rabbi Yochanan did have it tied, and his beis medrash was right near his house, and there was no Rosh Hasharabim that was mafsik. What do we say about Rabbi Yochanan? All we said is that he went to nafik behu lebei midrasha, that he went to the beis medrash with it. We never said he went out into Rosh Hasharabim with it, and for some reason people still didn't like what he did, chaluk alav chaveirav, but he didn't violate any halacha because he didn't even go out into the Rosh Hasharabim. His house was very close by. There was no Rosh Hasharabim that was mafsik between between his house and his base medrash. Okay, says the Gemara now weiter, Bepilpul Begilgal Melech, where three lines before the lines get wide on Samachay Amar Aleph, we said that a woman goes out with a peppercorn or a clump of salt in her mouth. So what was the purpose of these items? Pilpul L'Reach HaPeh. That was there for if she had bad breath, it would somehow improve her bad breath. Gilgal Melech L'Dorsheni. It's a salt that they would use for L'Dorsheni, for some type of tooth disease that she would have. It would somehow have a healing effect on this type of tooth disease. The Kaldavash and Osenos L'Toch Pia, and anything else that she puts in her mouth. Like what? Says the Gemara, for example, Znagvila Inami Dartsona. Either Rashi uses the English words over here, Znagvila Ginziro, ginger, or Dartsona, kinamon, cinnamon, right? Those are the two things that she might also put in her mouth. Shein Totavas, Shein Shalzav, Rebbe Matir, Lecham Moshin. If she has a false tooth, a golden tooth, so Rebbe holds it's mutter. The Chachamim say that it's aser to go out with. Amar Rebbe Zeru lo shanu el shel zahav. This machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim is if it's a gold false tooth, where you have a machlokas whether she's allowed to go out with it or not. I'm assuming it's removable if it's cemented in, then the stomach becomes part of the body. Aval b'shal kesef divrei kol mutter. But if it's a silver tooth, then everyone would agree that it's going to be mutter. Even the Chachamim who don't allow the gold tooth will permit the silver tooth. Why? What's the difference? Two days in Rashi. Rashi aval shel kesef shedomel sharashi naim divrei kol mutter lashon rabosai. That is, Rebbeim said that the difference between silver and gold is that silver looks more like the color of the rest of the teeth. Gold looks less like the color of the rest of the teeth, so gold is going to stand out more, and therefore it may be more embarrassing. She may want to remove the gold, but silver she's never going to want to remove because it blends right in, and that's why it's mutter for her to go out with it. That's Lashon Rabosai. The Linira, says Rashi, Taim de Shelzav Mishum de Chashiva Va'asila Achvuye. That Shelzav, it's not that she's going to want to remove because she's embarrassed. No, it's so chashuv, it's so expensive, she's going to want to take it out to show it off. Lekach Aser. Aval Shel Kesef Lo Chashiva Va'asila Achvuye. But when it's Shel Kesef, it's not going to be such a concern. She's not going to want to come to take it out. There is a Marsha, Mesechus Nedarim, Daf Samach Vav, that asks, the Gemara over there says that a Shein Shel Totavis Haisala Va'asila Rabbi Shmuel Shein Shalzav Mishalol Liafosa, that Rabbi Shmuel made somebody a golden tooth Liafosa to make her look better and to as a great favor. Now if it's true what Rashi is saying in the name of Rabosai, that a silver tooth is always better and a gold tooth is more embarrassing, so then why would he go through the expense of making a gold tooth, the Marsha asks, and not just make the silver tooth, which is cheaper and better? So it must be like the other day on Rashi, that no, that the gold, like Rashi himself says, that the gold is the better kind of tooth, and that's why the Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel is going out of his way to make somebody a gold tooth, that was the great favor that he did for her. But a silver tooth is not as good, right? Those are the two opposing views in Rashi. Is it that gold is more of a concern that you're going to carry it because it's worse and she's afraid to be made fun of, so she's going to carry it, or is gold more of a concern you can carry it because it's better and she's going to want to show it off to her friends and she'll take it out to show it off to her friends? Those are the two deos in Rashi. We'll see in a moment that Rashi has a raya that he's correct against his Rebbeim, but we need to see a little more Gemara in order to understand it. Tani nami hachi, we have a braisa. B'shal kesef divrei akol mutter, shal zav Rabbi Matir v'cham mosrin. A silver tooth, everyone holds is mutter, but shal zahav is a machlokas. Rabbi's matir v'cham say is aser. Amr Abaye, Rabbi v'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, these three Tanoim, Rebbe, Rav Lazar, and Rav Shimon ben Elazar, all hold that something that's embarrassing for a person, we have no concern that she's going to take it off to show it off to other people and therefore come to carry it. Rebbe Hadi Amran, Rebbe is exactly what we just said about the tooth, that Rebbe was matir with the gold tooth, apparently because something that's embarrassing, you're not going to take off and want to show it off to people. So says Rashi, before we get to what the other two opinions are about, well, it says Rashi, finishing off that Rashi where he had the two deos between him and his Rebbeim, Ulashon Rabosai Kashuli. Rashi says, if my Rebbeim are correct, that silver, false silver teeth are better because they look nice. So kashli hadam rabbi Rebbe Rav Shimon Elazar vi taimid rabbanim yishum dechayki alahu maishna Rebbe dekachashuv le rabbanan nami lav lachvu yechayshi. Meaning if the reason is that you're worried that people are going to laugh at her and people are going to mock her, so then why are we emphasizing only Rebbe's shita? The rabbanan also should have been mentioned as people who are concerned that that someone is going to is going to mock her. The chacham say that it's awesome for her to go out with the gold tooth because they're concerned that somebody's gonna mock her. It's not Rebbe we should be emphasizing. It's the rabbanan we should be emphasizing. V'yesh letaritz rabbanan meser ka'asri mikol makom v'Rebbe mati duksaver lo chayku ala v'lo shalfalu miu havle lemechash dul mashalfala mishum achvuye el lo shalfal mishum dimach v'lo genusihi. You have to say is that the rabbanan aser in all situations. Rebbe's matir because he holds that they're not going to laugh at her and she's not going to remove it. However, we do have to be concerned that she'll take it off to show it off to other people, but the only reason she wouldn't take it off to show it off to other people, meaning Rashi says, this is why I take my pshat, that shalzav is more chashuv, and it's likely that she's going to want to take it off to show it to other people. And this is exactly what the Gemara is highlighting, that even though normally she would want to take it off to show it off to other people, still Rebbe is matir. Why is he matir? Because it's a gnus that you need a false tooth in the first place. So therefore, she's not going to take it off and show it off to other people, even though it's the most chashuv kind of false tooth. So anyway, that's where we see that Rebbe holds that midi de meganyebe lo asalach vuye, that's something that a person is going to be embarrassed about, they're not going to want to show off to other people. Rebbe Eliezer, where do we find Rebbe Eliezer held this way? Titania, Rebbe Eliezer poter bekovelas ubsochshel pleiton. Rebbe Eliezer held poter, which we said really means that that poter really meant mutu lechadchila, that he allowed a woman lechadchila to go out with a kovelas, with a spice bundle, and with a flask of balsam oil. And the reason we said is because man darka lemepak bekovelas, who goes out with such a thing? An isha sharechara, a woman who has bad body odors. A woman with bad body odor is not going off, showing off all the different things that she needs to mask her terrible body odor. So that's why you don't have to worry about it. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is the third Tana that holds that something that's humiliating a person would not show off. Ditanya, Klal Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Kol Shul Lemata Min Asavcha Yotzebo, Lemal Min Asavcha Eni Yotzebo. Anything that's under the head covering, the small woolen hat, she can go out with, because we're not worried that she's going to take it off to show it off, because then it's going to expose some of her hair, and that's going to be embarrassing for her. So anything that's going to be embarrassing, we don't have to worry that someone is going to show off to other people. But says the Mishnah now. The Mishnah continues with things that a woman would wear that she may go out with on Shabbos. Yotze b'tzela sha'al hatzinis. A woman is allowed to go out with a coin on a tzinis. The Gemara is going to explain. Excuse me. The Gemara is going to explain that a tzinis is a wound, and somehow the coin has therapeutic value to help the wound heal better. Habonos ktanos yotzos bechutin vafilu bekismin shabaznehem. Young girls can go out with strings and even with splinters in their ears. What's the idea over here? The point is they had their ears pierced and they want something in their ears so the holes wouldn't close up. So sometimes they would stick strings in the ears to keep the holes open, and sometimes they would stick splinters. What's the afilu, even splinters? Says Rashi in the second wide line, vafilu rabusa kamar. That even though a splinter in the ear has no value as a tachshit, it doesn't make her look any nicer, whereas strings, if she has nice strings in the ear, it could make her look nicer, it could be like an earring, but having a splinter there doesn't make her look nicer at all. So you might think, so it's not a tachshit, then what is it? If it's not a tachshit, it must be a masui, and if it's a masui, it's got to be usher for her to wear in Shabbos. So that's why the Mishnah has to emphasize, no, afilu, even if she goes out with kismin shabaz nehem, that's also okay. It's not a tachshit, but it's also not a masui. Arvayos yotzos ru'ulos. The Arabian Jewish women are allowed to go out ru'ulos with their special head covering. Rashi explains, yotzos ru'ulos derech arvayos lios mu'utafos roshan u'pneim chutz mina'inayim v'kari la blashon ravi ru'ulos. They would go out with, what do they call those? With the Arab women wear it with the, what? A kafia, yeah, something like that, right? That her eyes are exposed, but the rest of her face is covered up. So What? A burqa, burqa, right, right. That's what kafir is, what the guys wear, right? So the burqa. So the So they go out with this thing covering their. It's okay not to have bikkias in this. Sorry. So they go out with a burqa. That was the common practice, and if that was the common practice of the women in the community where they lived, it's an interesting halachic shayla. If let's say a woman lives in Saudi Arabia, let's say you have a frum community in Saudi Arabia or in Iran or something. There used to be a frum community in Iran. Now I think it's not so much, would she be permitted not to wear that? Meaning, to what extent does Minhag HaMakom kovea standards of tznius? Now there are certain things, tefach b'isha erva, and certain parts of her body, ser b'isha erva, and all these that are clearly erva, that regardless of how degenerative society has gotten, we still have to, women have to, from women still have to cover up, Jewish women still have to cover up, but then there are other parts. What about parts that are tali and minhag, right? Like let's say wearing socks or something, stockings, that's tali and minhag hamakom. So how do we determine minhag hamakom? Is minhag hamakom, if minhag hamakom is that all the Goyish women in that area wear this type of covering, so maybe the tzniyos should demand that that a Jewish woman should wear it also. Someone was asking me about this recently. I never had a chance to look into it. I didn't think it was Salam Maisa, but whether a frum woman living in Saudi Arabia has to wear a burqa. Okay. But our Gemara is more interested in the Hilchas Shabbos element of it. So in Hilchas Shabbos, is that okay for her to go out with it? Are we worried she's going to remove it? Is she going to come to carry? So the Mishnah says she can go out ru'ulos. The assumption is that she would want to go out ru'ulos. But it's interesting. Maybe you could bring a raya from here that the assumption is that she also has the option of going out not ru'ulos. Well, if all the Arabian women went out that way, how could she have the option of going out not ru'ulos? Okay, so maybe that's a little bit of a raya. Where this also comes up is how Rashi describes ru'ulos. So what does Rashi say? That they would wear something that would cover their forehead, their face, but they would leave the eyes exposed. So in Nimuke or Achayim, points out in the name of his grandfather that Shatamal Osama Ma'atvin Batalis Umchasim Pneim. How do we do Atifa in the Talis? We do what we call Atifas Yishma'ilim, right, where we put the Talis over our heads and we wrap it around our face. So there's a discussion in the Poskim where some of the Poskim say you should, when you first cover the Talis over your head, it should go down over your nose. It should go down most, and then you wrap it around your face. So a number of the Achronim are not so happy with that. They say, what kind of Yishma'ilim would walk around that way? They can't see. If they would have it covering their eyes, they won't be able to see anything. So a number of the poskim say it's got to be like Rashi says over here, that the way they would go out is that they would have it, they would put it over their up until their eyes, and then they would wrap around to cover the mouth and nose, but the eyes would be exposed the entire time. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to go out that way. So that's what the poskim discuss. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says that you're supposed to lechasos harosh im apanim ad gumo shalechi l'mata mipiv, that you go literally below the mouth. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that's so. Lubav Shechasid Mestama have that minhag that it goes all the way down. Many others, Mishnah Berurah also quotes like that, to go below where the eyes are. But a lot of the other Achronim, the Eish Lavrami B'Chach and many others, disagree with the Shulchan Aruch Rav and say that it doesn't make any sense to cover the eyes. In the Tshuva Seret Tzvi in Simon Gimel, the Kasher Glover, he quotes a Raya from our Rashi that Ein Derech Yishma Elim to cover their eyes. It wouldn't make sense to cover the eyes. Another, and he also points out, according to Tosfos and Maseches Nida, Samachal from Beis, tzitzis, in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of tzitzis, you need hana'as levisha. So normally hana'as levisha would mean that it has to be something that you're enjoying wearing the baget. Let's say they say that Rav Chaim Kanievsky, with all of his chumras, he keeps so many chumras, he doesn't wear wool tzitzis, he doesn't wear a wool baget, he wears a cotton baget. And people asked him, with all of your chumras, you know, you keep every chumra in the book, and here's a machlokas rishonim, and the Mechaber holds, that the Mechaber even quotes the shita that you should wear wool tzitzis. So yeah, we're making like the shita that even cotton tzitzis is chayv midaraisa. But you're not going to be machmir for something like that? He said, I live in Bnei Brak. It's 150 degrees here. And I may not have hanas levisha with wool tzitzis, because what person in his right mind would be wearing a wool garment in 150 degrees summer, not 150, but 100 degrees summer day with humidity in Bnei Brak? There's no hanas levisha, so it wouldn't be chayv and tzitzis at all, right? If there's no hanas levisha, you got chayv and tzitzis. Says the Kasher Glover, maybe if your garment is covering your eyes where you can't see anything, maybe that's not called anas levisha. So maybe if you do an atifa in that way, you're not even being yotze the mitzvah of tzitzis for that moment that you're doing the atifa, because you're not getting a anas levisha. That's a questionable assertion. You're not having anas levisha. You're having anas levisha. It's just also annoying because it's covering your eyes, but it's still anas levisha. It still keeps you warm. It still keeps you wrapped up. So I don't know if that would be called not anas levisha. The pasha pshat for those poskim that say that covering they should cover the eyes is that it does make sense that why would they cover in these Mideastern countries, why would they cover their eyes when they walk around? It's likely that they would cover their eyes to some extent to protect their eyes from the sand. The sand was the Gemara says right that they wanted to know in the Gemara in Brachos, why are the eyes of this nation slanted half closed because the sand is always getting into their eyes. So they would cover their eyes so sand wouldn't get in. How would they see? They'd look down and they'd see a few feet in front of them, but they wouldn't see too far in front of them because they didn't want sand to blow into their eyes. If you live in a desert, that's a serious concern, that sand shouldn't get in a person's eyes. So anyway, that's a machlokas aposkim that may relate to this Rashi about ru'ulos, but is nogeah halach lemais each and every day when we put on our talis. Umadios prufos, and Madios, women who are Madios, come from Madai, Jewish women from Madai, can go out prufos. What does that mean? It says Rashi, Shema'atfos betalis, vitola haritzua besfasa ha'achas keneget savara, u besfasa ha'shenis, korachas even o egos, v'kosheris haritzua bekarech, ve'ina talis nofel me'ela. They use some sort of a stone or a nut to fasten their scarf on their bodies. And that's, so the Madios are allowed to use that. They're allowed to use this type of button to fasten the scarf onto them. And the truth is, anybody's allowed to go out like this, but we're just speaking the most common case. Usually it's the Aravios who want to go out Ruulos, the Madios who want to go out Prufos, but it's really about anybody. Parefes ala Evan. A woman is allowed to use a stone or a coin or a nut for the fastener to button her clothing shut as long as she doesn't do lechadchila b'shabbos. So the Gemara is obviously going to ask, what do you mean? You just said parafis 11. Now you're saying v'vad shalot tifrof lechadchila b'shabbos, that you're not allowed to do it lechadchila. On Shabbos, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that discussion. Says Gemara, Maitzinis. The Mishnah started out by saying she's allowed to wear a coin. Al Hatzinis. What is a tzinis? What's this talking about? So Bas Ara. So it says that it's talking about a wound on the heel of her foot, where a coin will somehow help the wound heal better. So Maishna Sela, why dafka a coin? Why would she use a coin as opposed to anything else? So Ilim, meaning what value does the coin have? Ilim call midi da akusha mali la slav la chaspa. If she just needs something hard to stabilize the foot, so then she doesn't have to be a coin. Why doesn't she just use a shard to stabilize the foot? It doesn't seem to use a splint. What does she have to use a coin for? Elamishum shuksa. So no, must be that it's the moisture of the silver is what works to heal. It somehow has some sort of chemical release that helps the wound heal. So lavalatasa. So then let her use a silver plate. What does she have to use a coin dafka? Elamishum tsuras us. Maybe it's the image on the coin. And then lavalapulsa. Let her use a wooden coin that has an image on it. So it can't be the image either. So what is it? So Rabbi Shramin Akulu Malala. No, what you see is that it's the combination of the three. That all three of these things have therapeutic value. The fact that it's hard, the fact that it's silver, and the fact that it has a tzura on it are all together something that will help her heal better. Habanos Yotzos Pechutin. So the Mishnah said that young girls can go out with the strings in their ears and even with splinters in their ears. Avuah de Shmuel. So now the Gemara goes through various minhagim that Avuah de Shmuel had. So Avuah de Shmuel had three hakpados. Number one, Avuah, and we'll explain each one. Avuah de Shmuel lo shavak lu lebinte de nafki b'chutin. One thing is he did not rely on this kula. He would not allow his daughters to go out with chutin with strings in their ears. Number two, v'lo shavak luhu ganian gabe adadi. He also didn't let his daughters sleep together next to each other in the same bed. And number three, he would make for his daughters mikvaos during Nisan, the season of Nisan, springtime, and he would make mats in to aid in the tevila one way or another during Tishrei, during the fall. Now, what were the purpose of these mats? So Rashi says, "Shetovlos beparos mepnei atitz shaloye chatzitza nosos hamapas tachas raglein." Because they were being tovlos in the river, so there was a dirt floor in the river, and he was worried that the dirt floor, with the mud from the dirt floor, would get stuck in their feet, and that's going to be chatzitza, and the tefillah is not going to be valid. So he made mats, says Rashi, to put on the floor of the river so that their feet won't get full of dirt, and there won't be chatzitza. Says Tosfos, he doesn't think that's the pshat. Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, showing nosnos mafzi zakufos shelo yiros ana olam yizbaishu mehem v'leit blu heitev. No, the concern is that if they're going to go to the mikvah in a river, so it's an exposed area, everyone's going to see and they're going to be embarrassed, and our concern isn't so much for tznius as much as it is that they're not going to do a tevilah properly, because they're going to be tznua, they're going to make sure no one sees them, but the only way to do that is they're going to go so quickly they're not going to do a proper tevilah. And he was worried about that, so he made mats not lying on the floor of the river but as a mechitza, so that they should be comfortable going into the river. The Ramban, the Ritva, the Kedush Aran all ask on Rashi. It says in Maseches Mikvos at the end of the seventh parak of Mikvos, Hitpil Bo'os Hamita Afal Pisha Ragle Shokos Petita Ova, that you're allowed to tovel a bed if it became tame in a river, even though the legs of the bed are sunken into the ground, it's still tahar. Why? Resha Mayim Makdimin, because when you stick the bed into the river, the water hits the bottom of the legs of the bed before it sinks itself into the dirt. So it's still considered to be fully surrounded by the water, even as it's sunken into the dirt. So they ask on Rashi, what could Shmuel have possibly been concerned about, that the women's feet are going to be sunken into the dirt, and therefore they're going to have a chatzitza? First it will hit water before it ever hits dirt. So it should be just like the bed, where it's not a problem of chatzitza. So all the Rishonim answer that no, Adam is shiny. Why? Because hatit nichnas bein etzba'os raglav v'nidbak sham v'chotzeitz. The mud will get in between their toes, and that's going to be a chatzitza. But Vayter Kasha, how does that answer the question? That so the mud will get in between their toes. If the mud gets in between the toes, so will the water. And if the water is makdim, if the water gets there first, then it shouldn't be a problem. So what in the world does that mean, that the that it's not going to be a problem, that it's dafka going to be a problem of chatzitza because it gets stuck in between their toes? So the Sfasemis explains that no, the area in between the toes is what we call a beis hastarim. Beis hastarim is an area that sometimes exposed, sometimes visible, sometimes not visible. The halacha of a beis hastarim is that it does not require bias mayim. You don't need water to actually hit a beis hastarim, like the inside of the mouth. A woman doesn't have to open her mouth when she goes to the mikvah. But it needs to be royal bias mayim. You're not allowed to have a chatzitza there in the beis hastarim. The concern is that water will not get between the toes, and sometimes a little bit of mud, by the pressure of the floor of the river, a little bit of mud will be pushed up in between her toes, and she'll have a chatzitza between her toes before she dips her head, before she dips her whole body in there. But it's because it's a beis hastarim, the chatzitza is a problem, and water isn't there. You don't need bias mayim, and she doesn't have bias mayim. So that's the problem. Which of these deos, Rashi tells us to be passing like Shulchan Aruch and Yardeus and Kuf Tzad Yiches Siflam Gimel says, if a woman is tovelis in a place where karki iso tit, where it's a muddy floor, yesh omrim delo olsela tevila, that some say that the tevila is not good, because that's the shita of Rashi, it's the sheet of the Ravid, it's in our Gemara. Rov poskim however hold like Rabbeinu Tam that it is mutter, that it is fine, the tevila is okay. The Shach says that in Sivkat Mem Zayin over there, there was somich to be tovel even when the ground is not solid ground, because stam tit is not like the tit ayavan that's chotzeitz, even if you do hold that Rashi is correct. Maybe Shmuel was worried about a particular type of dirt which isn't so commonly found, and anyway Rov poskim say like Tosos that the purpose of these mats was that people shouldn't see them. It was an issue of tznius. The Rambam, the first part of Mikvos, Halacha Yud Aleph, says Isha lo titpo benamal mibnei shemiz baishos mibnei adam ve'ena tovelas kahogen v'im hikif lamapa tzuchayotzi la'tznia tovelas benamal. The Rambam clearly seems to say like Rabbeinu Tam that a woman shouldn't be tovelas in a place where it's a public area, because she's going to be embarrassed and she's not going to do a proper job of it. And but if she makes mechitzos around herself, then that would be okay. Okay, that would make it that would make it better. She'd be allowed to be tovel in that way. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Now we're going to explain the various minhagim that that Shmuel had. One by one, the various hakpados rather that the avua the Shmuel had. So lo shavuk lo yotzus pechutin. He didn't allow his daughters to go out with strings in their ears. Va'anantan banos yotzus pechutin. But our Mishnah says that it's okay. They are allowed to go out with strings in their ears. And so Gemara binsei the avua the Shmuel did tzivonin havu. The daughters of avua the Shmuel were going out with tzivonin, with colored strings, and because they were colorful strings, they were more likely to take them out to show them off to their friends. It wasn't just stam strings. Lo shavak luhu ganiyan gabi adadi. He didn't allow them to sleep in the same bed together, his daughters. Lema say, Ravuna, maybe there's a riot Ravuna. Dam Ravuna, nashima misolos zubazu. Women who are misolal, who rub their bodies against each other for taivas tashmish, psulos lukuhuna. They're pasul lukuhuna. Says Rashi, what does it mean that pasul lukuhuna? Says Rashi, the kohen gadol. To love you, Basula Shlema. In order to marry a Kohen Gadol, a woman has to be a Basula. She's not considered a Basula Shlema, so she's not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. The Avgav to Kohen Gadol, B'yomei Lahava, Holvederk's Nus, Chashav Leilav Aruchara. So even though there was Avud the Shmuel had no concern that his daughters were going to be possible to marry a Kohen Gadol, because there was no Kohen Gadol in the days of Avud the Shmuel. No, but the fact that they were possible to marry a Kohen Gadol tells you that it's not an appropriate thing to do, that it's something to be extra careful about, and that's why he was makbid about his daughters. Tosus disagrees, doesn't think it's about the Kohen Gadol at all. Tosus says Psul Sukuna, Rashi says it's Pirsh Lakuna Gadol, Lav Psul Shleimahi, but then Tosus himself says Yesh Mefarshim Mishum Zona Upsulos Aflakoin Hedyot, that it's an issue that it makes her into a Zona, that she would be considered a Zona, and it makes her even possible for a Kohen Hedyot. Rav Zilberstein has a shayla over here with Reuven got an injury and on his finger from Shimon, and he has two treatments that are possible. Number one, they can amputate the finger, and or the other possibility is to go through some sort of significant surgery or something to make it better. So Reuven decides he wants it cut off, but the doctor thinks that he wants it cut off because then he'll have the din of an amputee legally, and he'll be zochet all sorts of benefits from the government. That's why he wanted a doctor to get it cut off rather than go through the surgery. So the doctor wanted to know, should he do that or should he not do it? So says Rav Zilberstein, Shabbos HaMechayim Aleph, Noshim HaMasola Zubazu Psul Sukuna. What does that have to do with anything? They're possible to a Kohen Gadol because they're not a Basula Shlema. So the Gilyoni Hashah says on the spot, Rav Yosef Engel, Yesh Lomar Oda Yisrim Mishum Bal Tashkis She Mashcheses Umavcheses Atzma Shnas Seinuri L'Kohen Gadol. That a person devalues themselves, that's an Isra of Baltashka. So if the woman makes herself someone who's not right for a Kohen Gadol, that itself might be a Baltashkas. So maybe you could say, Hu Adin, over here, that if someone is going to have an option of keeping a finger, but they're going to be Mashkas, their guf, in a way, to be Koteya, so that's going to be a violation of Baltashkas. That he says that maybe even you could even go so far. Shulchan Aruch says in Choshen Mishpat Tavchav Aleph that if you say to somebody else, "Cut off my finger," Al Menasha Atah Pater, so he's still chayiv b'chamisha devarim. You could still sue him. So maybe if the doctor does this, he says the patient could sue you for cutting off his finger. So he doesn't recommend that course. He recommends discouraging him from going through the amputation. Okay, says Gemara Lo Savar Ki Hefi De Lo Lilfan Gufa Lo Savar Ki Hefi De Lo Lilfan Gufa Nuchra'a. He doesn't hold of that it's a good idea to have them avoid being in close contact with other people, because you don't want them to get used to being with other people, being in close proximity to other people, and they sleep, because then they're going to have taiva to be with a man, to be with a foreign person, someone who's other than themselves. And then the final hanhaga that he had is avadu mikva biyomi nisan. He used to make mikvos for them during the days of Nisan. Misayele the rab, there's a raya to rab, dam rab, mitra b'ma'arava, sada rabba paras. If you want to know when it's raining in Eretz Yisrael, so you look at the Euphrates, and that will be able to tell you when it's raining in Eretz Yisrael, because the rainwater flows down and makes the Euphrates River swell a lot, and therefore Avod Shmuel held like Rav that Paras was growing because of the rainwater in Eretz Yisrael. So Savar, so Avod Shmuel was worried if he lets them just be Tovlos in that rain in the Euphrates. Shelo yirbu anotfin ala zochlin, that the rainwater is going to outweigh the zochlin, the natural flowing water, and therefore it's going to passle it as a mikvah. So that's why he made separate mikvahs. He built mikvahs for them to use in Yomi Nisan, because he felt that he held that the river wasn't kosher for tzvil anymore. Upliga de Shmuel. Now, even though Avuah de Shmuel held this way, this is against what Shmuel holds. Damar Shmuel nara mikifei mivrach. Shmuel himself holds that the river naturally grows from its own sources. It doesn't come from rainwater coming down. Sometimes we see the tide can rise even without a significant amount of rain, as we know too well. Upliga didaya didei. And this is a machlokas, it's a stira in Shmuel himself. Damar Shmuel ena mayim mitarim bezochlin el paras biyomei tishrei bilvad. Because Shmuel also said that paras only works in Yomei Tishrei. It sounds like not in Yomei Nisan. So it sounds like we have a stira in Shmuel, that in the second statement, Shmuel seems to be holding like his father. Parefes ala evan. So he said a woman could use an evan to fasten her clothing shut. Va'amrit reisha parefes. So and then it said parefes ala evan obavad shelo tifra v'charchila b'shabes. But she can't be tifra v'charchila b'shabes. So ask the Gemara, it's a stira. You just said parefes, that it sounds like she can do it l'charchila. Amar Abaye seifa asa in the matbeya. No, when we say that she can't do l'charchila on Shabbos, we're talking about where she's using a coin. A coin is mukta. If she's using a stone that's designated dafka for that purpose, so it's designated for that purpose, then it's not going to be mukta. By designating for that purpose, it takes away the mukta status. But if she's using a coin, then it's going to be a problem. Let's say your child is outside and the child is screaming that he wants a candy. So can the woman take a candy? Egos was the closest thing they had to a candy back in those days. So can she take a candy and use it as a button for her clothing as a harama in order to bring it out to the child to give the kid the candy on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, well, we do generally have a machlokas about harama later on in the Masechta when you're trying to save clothing from a fire on Shabbos. So Reb Meir holds, lovesh kol ma sheyachol ilbosh. You could put on layers and layers of clothing. You could come out with 100 layers of clothing. It doesn't matter. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, shmon asur kelim k'derek shu lovesh b'chol. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's a harama. You're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to wear the number of items of clothing that a normal person would wear. And he goes through 18 items that a person might normally wear. So would that be tully in the, would our shayla be tully in that machlokas? Can the woman do a harama to get this nut to bring it to her child? Is the question of whether that harama is mutter tali on whether you hold the harama of wearing all that clothing is mutter? So says Gemara, no, it's not tali on that at all. This shaila is a shaila whether you hold ma'arimin in that case or whether you hold ain ma'arimin. When it comes to the fire, maybe the shita that holds that you could do the harama to wear as much clothing as you want to save it from the fire, that's only because we're afraid that if we don't allow that, you're going to come to extinguish the fire, violate Amlach Daraisa. But over here, we don't allow the woman to bring the candy, so the kid won't have a candy. She's not going to come to violate any Issa Daraisa. She's not going to carry it. Or maybe even on the other side, even if you hold that you have to only wear normal clothing and you're not allowed to do the harama when it comes to the fire, that's hasam derech hotza bekach. That's because that's a normal way to take it out. But over here, anyway, it's not the derech hotza bekach. It's not the normal way to take it out. So I might think that would be okay anyway, since it's not the normal derech hotza. So teku, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. In general, when the Gemara leaves something as a teku, it's a major machlokas rishonim whether every teku is l'chumra or a teku d'oraisa l'chumra, teku d'rabbanan l'kula. But that's, and rishonim have that discussion right here in this Gemara. Okay.